Hey y'all, I'm Carrie.
Hey y'all, I'm Mandy.
And this is Monstrous. All right. So normally you only get one episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we're behind. You're going to get your Friday episode plus the episode we have today because this is a big one and I don't want to wait till we have the results. So we're going to tell you now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So last week, something major happened in the true crime world. We've got a breaking update on one of the most infamous cold cases in American history.
Oh, shit.
The 1996 murder of 6-year-old JonBenet Ramsey.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard that.
I know that. I told you. I've been waiting for you. You have not mentioned it yet. So, for those of us that have already listened to the entire backlog, we covered JonBenet's case in July in a 2-part series. Those are episodes 38 and 39. We went through the entire thing, the evidence, the crime scene, theories, the infamous ransom note, that infamous pineapple that everyone talks about, and then everything that puzzled investigators for all these decades. So those episodes were some of the most intense ones that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
This very deep dive into that. And it was intense for good reason. JonBenet's story has haunted people for almost 30 years now. But as we sit here today, we are not just revisiting the case. There's been a major announcement that came out last week, one that could finally shift this decades-old investigation in a very big way. So we'll get into that update in just a minute, but first, we're going to walk back through the case itself, just to really understand the weight of this news for anyone who has not heard those episodes yet. So we need to remember exactly how it all unfolded. So on December 26, 1996, the day before Christmas, Patsy Ramsey called 911 from their Boulder, Colorado home saying that her daughter was missing. She had found a ransom note on the back staircase. That note was unlike anything the investigators had ever seen before. At over 2.5 pages long, it demanded $118,000 in cash, which had been the exact amount of John Ramsey's Christmas bonus that year. The note was written on Patsy's notepad. The ransom note writer wrote, used one of her pens. Both had been found inside the Patsy home. The language of the note was theatrical. It referenced movies like Speed and Dirty Harry. It instructed John to not contact police, but by the time they had actually fully read the note, law enforcement was already on scene. Investigators immediately questioned whether the note was a genuine ransom demand or just a staged attempt to cover up a murder. For hours, the police treated the case as a kidnapping. Friends and neighbors were invited over. The Ramseys moved about the house freely, and critical evidence was either contaminated or lost. Around 1 p.m., John Ramsey discovered JonBenet's body in the family basement. She had been strangled with a garrote fashioned from one of Patsy's paintbrushes, and she had suffered a severe skull fracture. That discovery changed everything. This was no longer a kidnapping. It was a homicide. Almost immediately, suspicion had turned toward the family. Investigators noted that there were no signs of forced entry. The ransom note was written inside the house, and many believed that it made no sense for an intruder to kill JonBenet, but leave such a lengthy, detailed letter behind saying she had been kidnapped. Patsy Ramsey, in particular, was extremely scrutinized. Handwriting experts could not rule her out as the author of the ransom note. Some of the investigators thought she may have struck JonBenet in a fit of anger and accidentally killed her, then staged the scene to look like a kidnapping. John Ramsey, meanwhile, was considered because of the exact ransom amount matching his bonus. Some even theorized that this was either a clue pointing at him or a detail that only someone inside the family would have known about. Then there was Burke Ramsey, JonBenet's older brother, who at just 9 years old, had become a central figure in this case. Some investigators and armchair sleuths suggested that he might have lashed out at his sister, perhaps over food or attention. And then his parents covered it up. This theory resurfaced years later in documentaries and interviews and honestly has been the biggest theory that people have latched to. This has since led Burke to file lawsuits against different media outlets for defamation. Despite this speculation, though, there was never enough evidence to charge any of the Ramsey family members. Still, the suspicion and public scrutiny have followed them for decades. Then, on the other side, many people point to believing the intruder theory. Evidence supporting this includes an unlocked basement window, a broken window pane that John Ramsey had admitted to breaking a month earlier but had yet to fix. There was also unidentified male DNA found on JonBenet's underwear and leggings. This DNA did not match anyone in the Ramsey family. In 2008, based on this DNA, the Boulder District Attorney officially cleared the Ramsey family of any kind of involvement. Supporters of this theory argue that someone entered through the basement window, killed JonBenet, and then left unnoticed. They also point to the strange footprints and a mysterious suitcase that had been found near that broken basement window as possible clues to the intruder. Critics, however, argue that the DNA could have come from contamination during manufacturing or handling of those items, and that the crime scene itself was so chaotic that nothing could be trusted as clean evidence. In 2006, the case took a bizarre turn when a man named Mark Carr confessed to killing JonBenet. He had given a very detailed statement about being with her when she had died, but his story quickly unraveled. DNA testing proved the DNA did not belong to him. Many believe he was simply a disturbed man seeking attention. Still, though, his confession grabbed the international headlines, reigniting interest in the case and reopening old wounds for the Ramsey family. One of the biggest factors in this case has always been the media. From day one, JonBenet's pageant photos were everywhere, images of a six-year-old dressed up in makeup and sequins. The coverage shaped public perception, fueling theories and vilifying the Ramseys before any trial ever occurred. The family gave televised interviews, hired lawyers, and wrote books defending themselves. But no matter what they did, suspicion has continued to linger. For decades, they have lived under a microscope. So now we arrive at today's news.
I'm ready to hear it.
On September 6th, officials revealed something that has reignited hope in this case, something that could finally provide answers nearly 30 years later. Investigators are revisiting the evidence with new forensic strategies that weren't available in the 1990s. This includes both previously tested items and evidence never examined before. Specifically from the basement where JonBenet was found. This is all according to her brother, Burke Ramsey.
Oh, shit.
Unlike in the 1990s, when DNA testing required larger and cleaner samples, today's technology can pull a full genetic profile from just a few skin cells. This means evidence once considered unusable could now provide answers. So the hope in all of this, combining old and new evidence, will finally narrow down the suspects or point directly to JonBenet's killer. If successful, this could end nearly 30 years of speculation and finally bring closure to the Ramsey family. For John and Patsy, who passed away in 2006, so you remember Patsy passed away, and especially for Burke, this could lift the shadow of suspicion that has loomed over their family for decades. So this development is about more than just solving a cold case. It's about justice, closure, and the human toll that a tragedy has on a family, and one that has captivated the nation for nearly 30 years. For the Ramsey family, it's an opportunity to finally breathe, to lift the decades-long cloud of suspicion that has hung over them. The scrutiny, speculation, and public judgment they have endured is almost unimaginable, and any breakthrough now could bring them the peace that they have long been denied. For law enforcement and forensic experts, this moment underscores the power of science, patience, and persistence. Cases that once seemed unsolvable can now be reopened and examined with technology that allows for previously impossible discoveries. It's a testament to the dedication of those who refuse to let cold cases remain mysteries, and a reminder that even decades-old evidence can yield critical answers when approached with the right tools. For the public, this represents the closure of a chapter that has fascinated, shocked, and disturbed generations. JonBenet's story has always been a cautionary tale about the fragility of innocence, the consequences of assumptions, and the necessity of meticulous investigation. Resolving this case would not only honor her memory, but also demonstrate that no matter how long it takes, justice can be pursued and potentially achieved. Moreover, a breakthrough here could reshape the conversation around other unsolved cases. It serves as a beacon of hope for families of victims who have waited for years and even decades for answers. It reminds everyone that persistence, advancements in science, and dedication to the truth can converge to provide resolution when all seems lost. On a personal level, for Burke Ramsey, this could be a turning point. For someone who grew up under the intense glare of suspicion and media scrutiny, having the truth finally be revealed can transform his understanding of the past and allow him to reclaim a sense of normalcy that was stolen long ago. The emotional impact of knowing what truly happened cannot be overstated. Ultimately, this isn't just solving a crime. It's about bringing light to one of the darkest mysteries in modern American history. The significance of this moment reaches far beyond one single family or one single case. It's a reminder that hope can endure even across decades, and that the search for truth is a pursuit worth continuing, no matter how long it takes. And that's it.
That's awesome. I'm excited to see what they find.
Yep. It'll take some time.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, it won't be, you know, we're going to find out in a week. But there's evidence that was never even tested, according to Burke.
Right. How would he know?
Because they inform. Like, because remember, if you remember, her dad had a meeting wanting the old evidence retested at the beginning of this year. I'm going to assume that that's whenever this conversation happened. Hey, we want to send this evidence out to be tested. I'm going to assume that's whenever they found out there was evidence that was never tested, because they couldn't back then.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they find.
I know. Hopefully this will be it.
And it needs to be. That poor little girl.
I know. Her and then Burke, he was 9.
I know.
He grew up his entire life with people thinking he killed his little sister.
Right. Maybe he'll finally get the justice he deserves.
Right. And then hopefully her dad will find out what happened to her before he
passes away.
Because Patsy didn't.
Mm-mm.
So hopefully he'll be able to know what happened to his daughter.
Right.
Or who was responsible before he passed away. Because he's getting up there in age.
Yeah, he is. Hopefully he does.
Yep. I hope so. So we will follow this. We'll bring updates as they come. Like I said, it's going to be a while. It's not going to be a week later kind of thing. It'll probably be several months to come.
Oh, yeah.
In the meantime, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss those further JonBenet updates. If you have not heard the deep dive on JonBenet, that's episode 38, 39. Go check those out. And then hopefully we'll get some more updates on some of the other cases that we've covered so far.
Yeah.
And that's it for that update.
Nice.
Yep. So that's it. We will see you guys in the next episode.
Right.
Yep. All right. So we hope you keep listening and remember to
watch for monsters
and don't kill people. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.